This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4086, from Monday, the 1st of April, 2024. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for March 2024. It is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 60 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is: HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in March 2024.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ken Fallon, and you're listening to another episode of Hacker, a Public Radio. Joining me this evening is...
Hello, Dave Morris here from sunny Edinburgh. First time in weeks.
Ah, excellent. It is pouring... Well, not pouring down. It's Irish misting here, which... is the continuous non-stop drizzle light mist that you get that is too light to put on a coat, and yet at the same time you get absolutely soaked.
Yeah, I know the thing.
With the potential of never stopping.
Yep.
It's been I remember bringing home some hay. Like the last field of hay we had, and that started Irish misting, and we were tearing down the road trying to get the bales in before it rained.
Yeah, yeah.
Last field, and some American third cousins arrived, as was wont to happen from now on again. And there we go. Oh my God, I love your Irish mist. To which they got full-blown Irish.
Yes. You disagreed with them forcefully, I imagine.
I did, with a lot of floral language, but turns out they were used to it, so it was fine. Actually, in hindsight, that must have been a vision coming down with, because we had so many bales on the tractor, it was tipping over. So three of us were sitting at the front on the bonnet.
Oh no!
Yeah, perfectly natural thing to do. Health and safety be damned.
Like you see these guys on bikes in India and Pakistan and stuff. How the hell do they even, you know, go in a straight line on those things?
Anyway. For those of you joining for the first time, as I was seeing a lot of people join on Mastodon, welcome. We don't always talk about farming reminiscence. It is Hacker Public Radio, which is a bit of a misnomer. We're hacker in the sense that we are accepting shows from anybody who does something interesting with tech, not necessarily tech, just something interesting that other hackers would be interested in. We're public insofar as every one and zero on the site is free, Libra, and open, either under a Creative Commons or a OSI-approved license. And we're radio in the sense that...
We're not radio.
We're not radio as such. Well, we do have a thriving ham radio community, and we are syndicated on some college networks, so feel free to do that if you wish. What we are, though... is a place for people to come and share their stories, ideas, and if you happen to be in a place where people just do not appreciate what you have managed to pull off, and you realize that nobody in your family will be just nodding, going, yeah, okay, I can see why you'd be excited about that. Record a show, put it up here, and tell us about it, and we will appreciate it for you. So, Dave, does that describe HPR?
I think it does. Yes. It's not an easy thing to describe, but that's pretty good go, I think.
Yeah. And what's the community news then, if that is HPR?
You're asking me.
Well, I am indeed.
It's where we, the janitors and anybody else who wants to join in, as long as they're up to date with all the shows in the past month, get to look at all of those shows. We visit each one, we read the comments and make comments about them ourselves in many cases, and we get a bit of exposing of the show to the audience in case they haven't listened to it and that sort of thing. So, and it also gives the hosts of the shows, you know, some sort of feedback, which is nice. If you're sitting there in some sort of a vacuum and you don't I sent in that show, but nobody said anything. It's exactly. It's quite nice to have even us telling you good things about your show. So that's what we do.
Absolutely. The currency here, everything on HPR is free in so far as the hosting and all that stuff is provided by Josh Knapp over at anhonesthost.com, anhonesthost.com. Free, gratis, member of the community, post shows himself. We also use the Internet Archive for hosting our Creative Commons works. And all the other stuff, domain registrations, all that stuff is just paid for by the community. Nobody really asks. It just happens. Stickers and booths kit is also just comes from the community. So it's provided as a gratis service, and in the idea that there's a place where you can come and submit your shows. So we, Dave and I, are the janitors. We take care of the day-to-day munitia. Is that a word, Dave? Munitia?
I think you're going for minutiae.
That's
minutiae.
The funny.
Little
yes,
things.
Minutiae, yes. And as you can see, that's... The bar doesn't have to be too high intellectually for to pick up that broom. how and ever. So if you record a show, if you have a topic that you want to talk about, you press record on your recording device. You go to the HBR website. You pick a slot, or you can add it to the reserve show. If you're a new host, please put it into the scheduled slot. There's an upload button on all the pages, and it brings you to the calendar, and you pick the day you want your show released. A link will be sent to you. You'll fill out the information. That information will be used later to add to the show notes. It'll be added to the MP3 tags, or the ID3 tags in the media. It'll be used on the social media networks to promote your show on the day it's released. And Dave and I take care of the making sure the show is posted on time and all that jazz. But that's basically it. Transcripts will be available. You'll have your own host page. You can do if the topic is too big, you can split it over several shows. If you want, if you're listening to HBR and you haven't submitted a show, first of all, record a show telling us who you are, a little bit about your history, where you come from, how you got into tech. That's always a good one. Usually encourages us to ask you for shows that you wouldn't have thought of doing yourself. And likewise, if you have shows that you can't find on HPR but would like to be done, you can always contact us on the social medias or send us an email, admin@HPR, etc. And that's pretty much it. So what we're doing here on this show, Dave, is we're going down through each of the shows. And let's start. Earlier I said no more waffle because I really want this to be a short show. We're already, 8 minutes in and we haven't done the first show yet. So the first show was by Noodles and it was on Friday.
Hang on, though.
What?
Interrupt.
The best part, Dave.
There are new hosts. We have a new host thing, which quite often, unfortunately, says we haven't got any this month. But this month, we do have a new host, and it is Henrik Hemrin. And we'll be hearing from Henrik later on as we go through the show. So thank you very much.
I have the feeling that Henrik is very close to the community. I follow him on Mastodon. I think he's already submitted another show, has he?
I think there are two. There are two in the system. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Good, 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 good. And you too can be fame and fortune. Well, fame, possibly not. Fortune, definitely not. But as we say here on HBR, the measure of your show is not the number of downloads. It's the amount of people who, when stuck in a jam, took inspiration from your show, got them out of a fix, or got them out of a bad place in relation to some of the shows that we've done specifically the mental health ones, or just cheering people up. So that's us. So shall we do the first show then, Dave?
Yes,
Friday,
yes,
the 1st
yes.
of March, which was Framework 13 Generation Review by Noodles. And there were no
yes.
comments on that. But
no comments.
Go ahead, over.
It's an interesting subject because various people in my family and around have said, oh, what about these frameworks? Are they any good? I said, go and listen to that show and see what you think of that. So, yeah, very helpful thing to have done, I think.
Yeah, I love the concept. They're quite expensive, but I do love the concept.
Yeah. People were very excited when the idea of it was announced, I think. I think it's taken a while to actually get any out there in the wild. But it just might be me not paying enough attention. But still, it's a great idea and sounds like the right thing to do. As the owner of a smartphone, which is sort of in the same league in terms of a Fairphone, which is in the same sort of league, because you can take bits out. You can't really upgrade it, but you can replace bits with relative ease. So very, very much for this sort of idea.
Yeah, cool. The Framework is a laptop that is modular and everything based around USB-C modules, and you can build your own, essentially. So very cool. Lots of hacking ability there. And you can take out the module for the motherboard and... I saw that somebody upgraded their laptop and then used the other one as a standalone server somewhere else. So great
cool.
stuff.
Yeah.
Then we had the community news, which is this show, and there were no comments, Dave. No controversies at all. So everything's great here. We're doing our job.
Yep, we're just so easygoing in our recordings. Yep. Good.
Hacking AI models to protect your livelihood. By Hobbes. And I must say, you know, the klaxon goes off every time the word AI comes in and my eye starts twitching a smidgen. But this one was actually about things that you could do to protect your own stuff. The Fox, Blade, Nightshade, and
Agalmic, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, tools. And this was brilliant. Just Fox will mask for anonymous hackers around the world. Glaze is a digital paint curing process to protect your art. And Nightshade is a software blue pill that you can hide your digital creation so that an AI consuming your work without your permission will also consume the blue pill and get sucked into an endless hallucination. Absolutely fabulous. Do you want to do Trey's comment?
Trey says, deja vu, is this the same as HBR 4055? I feel I'm caught in a time loop. And what he's referring to is that the two shows are very, very, very similar in their content. Completely different in their layout, I believe, but very similar in their content. So I think it's been a slight mix-up along the way there. But... Nobody's complaining, so I think it's fine.
Sometimes mix-ups occur. But anyway, if this is the first time you've heard the show, have a listen. It's well worth a listen.
Mm-hmm. Yep, good notes too. Some good links there to go and research further.
But they are genuinely two recordings of two different shows. Maybe it's just two different takes and posted it. So, don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know what was going on there. We didn't spot it at the time. So
no, we didn't. We didn't. There was no easy way of telling because we don't listen to the audio, and the notes were quite different between the two shows. So,
That's the thing that we forgot to mention in our introduction. We don't listen to any of the audio that gets posted. There's several reasons for that. The first one being. That who are we to judge what can and can't be on the network? And except for spam, of course, we're very, very good at determining what spam, Dave. a lot of practice. And secondly, it means the DMCA stuff doesn't apply because we get the safe harbor. We're not editors. We're just posting show. And that means you, not us, are going to get sued for the content of your show.
Nice.
The following day, we had Mr. X replacing a light bulb in a magnetron, or as you like to call it, a microwave oven.
Yeah, good stuff.
Trey says, "Nicely done. Easy repair and well done. When my microwave failed a few years ago, I discovered a very fried controller board. I used this as an excuse to harvest the transformer and replace the microwave. The question I have been debating is, should I use the transformer to make a small spot welder or to create fractal wood art with the high voltage side? The latter is tempting, but the risks are higher."
Yeah, I've seen people doing this. The spot welder thing is quite neat, but both are potentially dangerous, I suspect. You got to know what you're doing. Do you want me to read your comment?
Got this. Yeah, I should have done mine. So I'll do mine.
Okay.
Be very careful. Messing with high current and voltage like this can kill you. YouTube videos often play very lightly with safety, so if you are doing it, and I am not recommending that you do, then be sure to rely on people that take safety seriously. Check multiple sources, employ safety protocols, and have others trained and ready to assist you if you are incapacitated. Mm-hmm. My strong advice would be the fractal wood arc. Stay well away from that. It is lethally dangerous. Loads of people have been killed on it. There is no... there is no comeback. There's no margin for error on that at all. Several people have been killed and others seriously injured. The best you can hope for is that you'll only lose a limb. Yeah. So My strong advice is, if you want something looking like fractal wood art, learn how to paint. As far as spot welders are concerned, also, yeah, the spot welders from AliExpress are now so cheap that, and probably as dangerous, but at least, yeah.
Well, and welders in general are pretty cheap if you go for the bottom of the range. Places like Lidl are selling them all the time. Those are usually MIG or arc welders. So if you're into that type of thing, it might be better to go and look at something like that.
I think this is probably for putting tabs on 18650 batteries and stuff like that.
Yep.
So far be it for me to stop Trey from doing something, but heavy advice is safety first on this one, and yeah, be careful. If Big Clive is warning people not to do it, then you know.
He just take a few risks himself, but not that far.
And even, what's this, Boom? What's
it? Electro name? Boom.
Electro Boom also is warning people about it.
Yep.
Okay, passwords and BitWarren news. Some guy on the internet talks about passwards and BitWarren. BitWarden. Sorry, guys. BitWarden. And this is outside of the Onion News things, but he felt it necessary to bring it out. So...
Yeah, it was quite interesting. I've not dabbled with Bitwarden, but it's quite interesting to have some pointers to things I could find out more about. So I'll do Delta Ray's comment, who says, "Thanks for the shout out. Nice show. I liked how you explained your categorization of the risk levels, your accounts. Glad to hear you like my show. I'll try and make some more security related shows."
Excellent. Positive feedback, guys. Going each both ways. There is nothing nicer than getting a positive feedback on a show that you do, particularly if you put some time and effort into it. It's really nice. It's the one thing that you can do on HPR without, you know, you can have a million and one excuses for not sending in a show, but, you know, going to the website, clicking on comment, blah, and the password is public, by the way, the answer to the spam question. So Civilization 3, we start to look at the next game in our Civilization franchise, Civilization 3, where Ahuka continues Civilization franchise followed upon the Alpha Centauri game. So more of this history. Probably best to listen to the whole series to get some context.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's, as always, very, very comprehensive and, And you can go to his website. I think I've said this before. His website is a really good resource for going back and checking through stuff that he's talked about on the show. So, yeah, brilliant.
And then we had Hendrik's first show on migrating to Digicam as a digital asset management piece of software. And as luck would have it, Dave, this is something that I knew about Digicam. Absolutely. But it was off my radar, and now I'm back to my archiving project again, which never ends. and I was thinking, right, I might just dust that off. And I'm glad to hear that there are more shows in this series. And I'm hoping that he will continue to do Digicam. And if he does another few shows on Digicam, we can make a series on digital asset management.
That would be great. Yeah, yeah. And then maybe others will contribute to it as well, which would be good.
No pressure.
No.
Just wondering, is there a... I have a lot of photos, and I would like to get, you know, face recognition of the photos without having to send them out to, you know, selling your soul. So that would be a question for Henrik or indeed somebody else. You know, here's a thing of photos. So sort them based on my children's development age, taking into account that they look completely different when they're younger than they do now.
Yeah.
Just go do that for me.
Yeah. I actually use Digicam, or I have used it more than I am just at the moment, but I use it quite a lot, and we used to travel a moderate amount, the kids and I used to try and get GPS locations, which you can store in it and stuff like that, so you can do map links and that sort of stuff. So yeah, I've got a whole series of Czech Republic, or what do they call it now, Czechia, and going around Prague and stuff like that. And Berlin and all that sort of thing. You know how you do. And it's a cool thing to do. I mean, it'd be better to use something central rather than on my machine, but still, it's a good way of doing stuff.
Kevin O'Brien says, good show. Digicam is the software I use, and I'm glad to see that it works well for others. I take lots of photos when I travel, and Digicam helps me sort it all out and manage it. If you haven't tried it, give it a look and see how it works for you. It's free open source software. So Kevin has done Digicam as well. I'm now looking forward to the LibreOffice style Digicam going through every interface. And no pressure, Kevin. Now that you sold the RV, you have plenty of time.
It's quite a convoluted piece of software, but it's very, very powerful. And Kevin will have spotted all the corners that I will have missed for sure. So that'd be good.
The next episode was, and still is, Piper Text-to-Speech Engine, where Archer72 talks about Piper Text-to-Speech using Piper Voice, which I asked him about only yesterday, because I had wanted to do it in order to be when we're doing the reserve shows. So after the new year, we had a splurge, you know, sawtooth, where we get a lot of shows and then it falls off, a lot of shows falls off. And we're now in the falling off period and we're taking shows from the reserve queue. So what I want to be able to do is quickly add in some additional information in the text-to-speech before a reserve show so that it's more up-to-date. So we can give, is this reserve show just a slot that we don't need to be that concerned about? Or whether it's, okay, guys, it's reserve shows for the next 3 weeks. Can you please send us in some shows? Mm-hmm. So Archer sent me on the information I need for that.
Very good.
Piper seems like a very, very easy and really natural natural sounding voices, and I'm wondering what Mike Ray would think of it.
Yes, that's a good question. Yes,
or do they fulfill two different things? Personally, I use eSpeak for my text to speak, you know, regular reading out a screen, but you know, for podcasts, you want something a little bit more.
Yes,
I guess. Yeah,
if you're a user of the eSpeak. then you adapt yourself to it and you can run it really fast, especially if you need to, like with Mike Gray. But then people, if you use it on HPR, people say, oh, it's so harsh and horrible, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Especially if you get it to read shows. Whereas these are much gentler on the ears and not quite as jarring. But, you know, you could get used to either, I would imagine. But, yeah, I quite like this one. It amused me there's a voice there. I think, is it called Ray or Ryan or something? That suddenly goes into this strange burble. It's just that particular voice. It says, hello, and then it goes, blah, 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 blah. I was just laughing joking with Archer72 saying, oh, that's the one I want on my home assistant, you know, when it says, hey, Dave, there's somebody at the blah, 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 and that'd be really useful. But yes. It's all new stuff. It's under development and stuff, so it's just me finding amusement from this stuff.
So where are we? Up to Cyberpunk? Is it Trickster Show?
I was scrolling down through Archer 72, just longer than I thought it was. Trickster and the documentary Cyberpunk.
Yeah, this was a good show to is it worth watching an old Hacker Media show? And I won't go into it. It's there available for you to see and watch. And HBR listener says, restoration on archive.org would be much appreciated if Trickster could post the link to their mentioned HD restoration of the documentary on archive.org, as the linked version on YouTube is geo-restricted.
Yuck. And Trickster replies, a slightly better version. I've updated my previous upload with a higher quality version restored with better techniques. You should be able to find it at, and there's an archive.org link to it. So hopefully that solved the problem.
Super duper. The next day was Daniel Pearson's experience playing Jade Empire. Jade Empire is based on the past in China or Japan, and you will be following this martial artist searching for their kidnapped trainer. Awesome. And again, we need somebody desperately who's into gaming to pick up the janitor broom and join us here on the for these shows.
Yes, we're somewhat lacking in experience in this area.
So our enthusiasm, Daniel, is our fault. It's us. It's us, not you.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the next show. Making a Pomodoro timer.
Yep.
Tomato timer.
Indeed. Yes. Is that Spanish for tomato, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, yep.
So the idea is Norris gets distracted easily, and the idea is that after 20 or 30 minutes he gets distracted. So this timer sets a it's basically an app, and it goes off for a period of time, and then before he gets distracted he's able to go do something else and then come back and then focus. So not bad.
Yep. He's using a device called the Circuit Playground Express, which is a Adafruit product, I think, which is a rather nice circular PCB, which with LEDs around the edge, I think, RGB LEDs. So he does a sort of countdown in color and stuff. There's a countdown for the work period and a countdown for the break period. I thought this was absolutely brilliant. I would love to have one of those. I'm not really sure why.
Yep.
But I just like to have a thing that counts stuff for me and says, well, I've got a clock here on my the shelf above my monitors, which when I did an HBR show on building it, it's one of these things you can get off eBay and build it yourself. And I switched on the hour beep because having a bad knee, I need to get up every hour and walk about a bit, otherwise it freezes up. So it's really useful for that. But the Pomodoro style timer would be a much nicer, more pleasant thing. So you wouldn't be surprised by this horrible beep that this clock makes, and it could be completely silent, I think, if you wanted it to be, and you know, you could just look at lights. I would quite like that. So yeah, very tempting.
I'm actually thinking about something like that for. Mm-hmm. The the middle guy, he just can't understand time as a concept. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not for want to try or anything. Mm-hmm. I will say though that anything on the Adafruit site is going to be very well put together and very well documented. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're getting into electronics, it's always a good place to start. Their stuff is probably more expensive. But the quality is probably better. That's my personal recommendation. We don't mm-hmm. have sponsors here in HBR. Just
no,
by the
way. I fully agree with that. They do some magnificent products. I like watching their YouTube things on occasion because you can see the enthusiasm. We've made a new thing, and they tell you all about it, and you think, wow, yes. These people are living their best life.
And I just want to buy it so badly. More electronic crap here, projects that I haven't done. Anyway, Trey says, great project. I like the idea of this timer for those of us who are easily distracted and get so focused on a specific problem we forget to eat. Yeah, that would be more me. The Raspberry Pi Pico reminds me of the Arduino. Now I need to do some research, compare and contrast. I better set a timer, smiley face.
Yeah, good comment. I like that.
Very good. So we're up to the 18th. W LED house lights. This is where operator has got LED lights for the holidays, and it's not a thing that we do here so much in Europe. Don't know about the UK.
No, it has become more popular in my lifetime, but. It's nowhere near the level that you find in US, as far as I'm aware. Anyway, not that I've actually gone and visited, but I mean things like music that's played on a band that your car radio can pick up and that sort of stuff to go with it. That's way it's probably illegal anyway here, but it's way over the top. Some people put lights out at Christmas and stuff, but usually it's quite small and subtle. This one sounds like it's big.
No, there's a video, and it's well worth a watch. I must say I'm torn between the conservative of me going, gosh, that's very techy, and so I'm doing a British accent for that. On the other hand, I love this stuff. Oh, God, I love it. But, yeah, there you go.
Yes, it's definitely some interesting stuff going on here, and he seems to have managed it in such a way that you hear all the tales of people using this way back in time when they were all incandescent bulbs and stuff like that, which are massive loads and really quite difficult to run off your home powers. But this one sounds like it's going to be a lot more manageable and cheaper to run, and probably not cheaper to install and buy and install, but still pretty good, I think.
Cool. The next day, Mr. Young, with the continuing FFmpeg series, joining us, splitting files. Love this show. This series is dedicated entirely and solely for me. So anybody else has a problem with this, don't bother. Don't bother complaining. This is entirely for me. This is my show. However, Hendrik says, useful to learn how FFmpeg can be used. Your presentation in particular, the concatenate command, gave me an idea for some TS files and where they can be useful for me.
Cool. Yeah, it was. I thought the show was really nicely put together, logically organized and very clearly explained step by step. So, yeah, I it's a huge morass of information in FFmpeg. I've only just sort of touched the surface of it and gone, ugh. But More like this will really open the thing up, make it more usable to many people, I think.
Exactly. And Mr. Young and yourself have already collaborated earlier on a, was it on the SEDUC and GREP one?
No, it was the Orc shows we did. Orc. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Yep.
Did we read the comment? Yes, we did. And
yes, it took me a while to get back to find it. I'm not very quick on using mouses.
Yes. So we had Anastello with learning to read music part two pitch. So part one was how to, where we had to do a print off and walk around the street with the print off listening to his show. And this one was about pitch. And the notes, show notes over at astello.info are fantastic. Mm-hmm. You do Trey's comment, please?
Yeah, good show. Trey says, desperate plea for a drummer to respond, ? Great podcast. While I've dabbled in music over the years on several instruments, though never drums, it's sad that I never became proficient with any. Maybe when I retire, I'll sit on the back porch with my guitar and antagonize the squirrels. Thank you for sharing. I'm hoping that there's a drummer out there who will record an episode responding to the drummer remarks.
And you'll have to listen to the show to find out what that's all about. So the following day was a show by me, but actually it was the corresponding source where it was me as a janitor posting a show, and this came across this from Dan Lynch, because Bradley Kuhn and Karen Sandler, who were the hosts of the Free As in Freedom podcast, have started it, rebooted their podcast as the corresponding source, where they're going to be doing more stuff. So feel free to have a listen to that and subscribe. All the links you need are in the show notes.
Yeah, it sounds really good. I subscribed to that one because it sounded like there was a lot of potential there, as there was with Free As in Freedom. But yeah, it's good stuff.
And then I kind of ruined this series, Georgia to South Carolina, where Ahuka visits the beautiful city of Savannah, Georgia, and then they go to Charlestown, South Carolina. Fantastic photos again. Are we going to do the joke about the bearded guy with the hat? Or will we just leave it on? Has it become tradition now?
Seems to be tradition, actually.
Yeah. So,
yeah. The copies I have of these shows were downloaded early on when there was a slight distortion in them, so I tend to listen to them on the website because I can't be bothered to re-download them. But, this time I actually sat here listening to it, looking at the blog that Hooker puts together, and that's really good because he links to all the photos, so you get the context really clearly by following his notes and then clicking on the photos and that sort of stuff. It's really good. It's how travelogue-y things should be done, I think. One thing,
and
though,
this...
go on, sorry.
Go ahead, over.
No, I was just going to say that when I clicked on that link, it takes me to the last show's page. We just do next, click next, and get to the one relating to this show. But I don't know if Hooker's listening, I might message him to say you want that fixed so it points to the appropriate bit. That would be no problem.
So as I was listening to this, it was during the summer, because Hooker tends to post his shows almost a year in advance. Mm-hmm. And I actually stopped and went in and watched some of the videos about firing the weapons and stuff. So, yeah, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the way he takes pictures of the information boards. It's exactly my sort of guy.
Yeah, I showed my son and his girlfriend these shows because they like to travel quite a lot. They're off to Japan late in April. And they... I'd like to take a lot of pictures, but they haven't yet got a foolproof way of sort of joining them together in this sort of a travelogue, or if you like to call it that, type of structure. So I don't know if they're going to borrow some of Hoker's ideas and do that, because if you've been to fancy places, it's great to have something you can look back on, you know, a few years later. Did we ever go to
rub it in?
Anyway, so yeah, good stuff, very good stuff.
So the following day we had it was a Monday. Oh No News, where some guy on the internet gives us some moral-ridden panic and pearl-clutching nonsense. So love the format of this. So where some guy on the internet gives us a rundown on what's going on and explains it in layperson terms. So lots of comments. Have you read the last one?
I really can't remember.
I'll do this one.
Okay, go for it.
Trey says, pearl clutching. Great to hear another episode of Ono News. Keep up the awesome work.
Good. We have a comment by HPR listener who says, unnecessary insult. It is noticed that Scotty continues to use the open nature of HPR to insert insults into shows towards those expressing legitimate criticism of judgmental past statements he has made.
To which I replied, as a janitor, dear HPR listener, you appear to have an issue with some guy on the internet. Rather than hashing it out here in the comments, can you please contact the janitors using the email address admin@hackerpublicradio.org, or if you prefer an independent ear, then we have the auditors at hackerpublicradio.org. So the janitors are you and me, and the auditors are community members independent. So you can raise your issues with them. And then if you could do the next response.
So some guy on the internet says, desperately, comma, with white knuckles, comma, clutching pearls. I sit at my desk clutching my pearls with bated breath, listening for the soothing sound of good heavens to calm me during these moral panic-ridden times. Thank you, Trey.
Super. E/OS. This is from Henrik. E/OS, an open source Android alternative. Regarding Android, I use E/OS as an operating system on my daily mobile phone from the E Foundation. E/OS is based on Lineage OS, which in turn is based on Android open source platform. E/OS is almost de-Googled version of Android, and in general, EOS works well for me, but still some apps do not work fully or not at all. So unfortunately, I need a backup phone for some purposes. Not unlikely are issues related to Micro G, which replaces Google services, but cannot mimic it in every detail. Despite issues, I enjoy to use alternatives to very non-free software, iOS and Google Android. That's almost a show, Dave.
Yeah, I certainly know the existence of this, but I don't recall anybody talking about it in any depth. So yeah,
EOS I never heard of before.
When I was looking for something to put on this phone I have here, which I haven't done anything with yet, that was one of the possibilities. But yeah, I'd love to know more.
Okay, cool.
So the comment from Kevin O'Brien, which I will do. A good show, he says. I always enjoy the Oh No News. Yeah, as do we all.
Who doesn't? Well,
All of us too, anyway.
Yeah. No swans at Swanston? Swanston. I guess it means Swans Town.
Probably, yes. There's somebody called Swan, probably. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't bother to look, to be honest. You probably can find lots of history if you delve.
So this is where two creepy guys get into a car. I came out wrong. Sorry, Dave. Dave of Mr. X could never be construed to be two creepy guys. Salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. Oh. Anyway, moving on. Sorry, Mr. X. I'm not apologizing to Dave. Sorry, Dave.
Half of the course.
You know what you signed up for. I love these shows. So just a quick chat and hear some stuff, basically. Random stuff.
We accumulate odds and sods in a Google Doc over the intervening period, and got various things we wanna. Oh yeah, it's a thing we could talk about. Here's another thing we could talk about, and then we try and make a show out of it. It's sometimes thrown away quite a lot because otherwise we could be going on for hours. So it's difficult to shut us up, unfortunately. But anyway, we enjoy doing it, and if anybody gets anything out of it, then so much the better.
So the show the following day was a reserve show, Drivecast, a man talk, where some guy on the internet discusses men's issues when driving. So this was a very good show, indeed. Very, very much what HPR is all about, of interest to hackers. Yes.
I sort of taken aback slightly. I mean, somebody who's done a biology degree, which included a fair amount of human physiology and stuff, I wasn't expecting to hear a diatribe about such a subject from HPR. That just goes to show that I don't understand HPR enough, doesn't it? It's great. It's great. I would be inclined to a long speech.
It usually has negative connotations. So.
Not necessarily, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have been tempted to go off into the biology end of things. I think it was very well put together and handled. Excellent.
Yeah. I have, having had kidney issues as a child, I can, like pregnant women the world over, can tell you where the public toilets are in a 10-kilometer radius of any particular point on the planet. And my standing thing is see a toilet, use a toilet. So, very good, particularly as a long-distance truck driver. And in essence, the show was about the liquid distribution associated with some of the receptacles. We have had the same issue in other places, but it's also been down to the lack of B-day facilities being provided by the toilets and what's customary in other areas. And I know Klaatu did a show on alternatives to toilet roll as during the COVID thing, and promised me an episode on how to use a B-day. And so that's an episode. And a thing I noticed when I went to America was how the toilets are so different to other places that have been the world over. So, that might be a show in itself.
There's a lot of stuff there. Yeah. My son, etc., going to Japan, they could do a show on Japanese toilets, which are strange and wonderful things.
Yep.
I'll mention it to him, but I think the chances are fairly slim.
Yeah, chances are.
You know how it is.
I do, but you can ask. Cloud learning. This was Daniel's experience trying to train a model online. A lot more complicated than I thought it would be, given all this AI stuff going around. What did you think?
I was surprised at this. It was surprising how much had to be done. I felt I was missing some context here. I imagine Daniel has got a lot more knowledge that I don't have in, you know, what you actually need. Then he was talking about how to get it, but without actually describing what you need to be looking for. I thought, anyway, it was just me not being up to speed, perhaps. But it is quite surprising. What a dance you have to lead to get where you want to be.
I think it's early days in the whole cloud learning arena. Yep. Good show, though. The following day, we had Android Userland Google Assistant ChatGPT. Operator tells you how to get past no ABA Android debugging and blocking third-party APKS, which was all very interesting. and tells me that operator is operating on a completely different plateau to to me.
Yes, yes, yes. It. My notes to myself were some very cool hacky things to be done on an Android phone, but most of it passes me by because I don't have enough context to understand. So yeah. It'll probably bits of that will start to join together a bit later on as I think about it. But yeah, there's obviously some great stuff to be learned about that. So yeah, good to have it.
And I think that was the last episode that we need to review for this month, if I'm not mistaken.
It was indeed.
Which brings us back to comments from running so HPR 3060 by me, running a local IMAP server where Ken installs a courier IMAP locally to have a local backup of mail. Do you want to read the comment?
Yep. So it's from somebody entitled Nothing in Particular. This comment has nothing to do with the content, but after reading the lengths you go to keep this section spam free, I really wanted to appreciate the effort that goes into this. This is a great website, very grateful to have access like this for free without ads and trackers. May you live long.
To which I replied, a very suspicious comments. Hi somebody, thanks for your comment. That is exactly what I expect a spammer to say, smiley face. As you point out, all the comments are moderated. All the links are checked by humans. We strip out all the HTML. If any spammers are checking us out, then feel free to do a show about yourselves, your industry, or any topic that you may find interesting. We also check our shows for spam.
Yes.
That comment, we get a lot of comment spam in. A lot less now than we did before, but we still get comment spam in. And occasionally we will get people probing to see if, probing to see what sort of defenses we have up, anti-spam wise. So they'll post great blog or something, easy giveaway, and we know straight away. And they'll put that on older shows that were kind of popular, and so it won't raise suspicion, and usually on a show that's already got a few comments. So yeah, this one sent my antennas off, I must say. But feel free, somebody, to come back and comment. Better yet, do a show. That would be better.
Yeah, bit of a surprise.
And we also have the thing where just if you are commenting on shows, the shows that are in the regular feed don't require anything more than there's one question. What does the P in Hacker Public Radio stand for? So public. But if you go comment on shows older than that or shows that have been released and are in the future queue, so you can also subscribe to the feed as they're coming in, which if you wish to do, and you spot, some people do so that they can help us spot issues before it goes to the main feed. If you comment on either of those, you get some additional questions which you need to answer. And you also need a freeform text body which needs to be filled in, proving to us that you're not a spammer. And some of those have been very, very interesting and funny, made me laugh.
Yes, it's quite nice to see those.
I'm now collecting them as well, actually, as by the by. Just might do a show about those at some point. What else do we do, Dave? Any other business?
Well, we look at the mailing list, but there's nothing there apart from the one I sent announcing this show.
Desperate cry for help, Dave.
Have I missed one?
No. What do we miss?
No. I usually open this on the day. A lot of the other tabs I keep for this are opened last month, but there's just my HBR Community News next Saturday message. Is that all in the list, yeah?
Yeah, so do you want to go through the AOB?
Yep. Okay. So there are a few things here. First one is about podcatchers, which I think is still the generic term for things you run on your phone that collect podcasts and stuff. And it seems that they don't, in general, show the author of episodes. And it's an author field in RSS and Atom feeds, and they're not shown. This field is intended to show the author details. It might be several authors or one or whatever. With HBR shows, it contains an obfuscated email address and a name, and I give an example of your details. The lack of this information means knowing who created a given HBR show difficult to determine before you listen to it. The question's been raised as to whether we could include the author details at the start of the show notes themselves to overcome this thing. Comments are requested from the community as to whether this would be a useful addition.
As in, you're asking right now here on this show.
Yep.
So, what do you think? Down below. And I think it comes from most podcasts now are by somebody and it's on, you know, Murder, She Wrote type thing, and it's always the same author. So the author of the podcast isn't, you know, it's not serialized in the same way as blogging should be. So it's just laziness on the part of podcatchers or whatever.
It's surprising, really, because there's a whole bunch of elements that you could be showing, but the most useful one that's not shown is the author. I'd have thought.
Yeah, but if that's the same for every episode, why would you?
Yeah, take the argument.
Yeah, the more fields you put in, is the more testing that you need to do, and the more chance of errors, etc., etc.
It would be no. It's 4 o'clock according to my clock. Not only does it beep, but it's also wrong. But anyway,
thinking, take the cat out of the microwave. Okay, not funny.
So next one is the corresponding source. It was just to put a comment in here, but we've already looked at the show and spoken about it and stuff, so it's really I don't know why I put that in. Did we agree to do that? I can't remember.
Yeah, we used to do that sort of stuff. Give a heads up.
Yeah, if you're looking back at the notes and you see it, then that's useful. So the next thing was HPR changes, where we've changed the correspondent pages, which show a particular host, which tends to be called correspondent in our software, list their shows, and for some reason or other, we'd omitted to include the profile, which is the thing that's been uploaded by the host that tells you about them and how to contact them and stuff like that. It was present on the previous site, but not on the static site. So we've added that. It was issue 181 on the Git site, which has been closed. And if you go and look at host 30, Ken Fowler, I'm pointing at you again. you can see the profile there. So that was a good bit of progress, or a bit of progress. Maybe there's a lot more things that need doing, but we've made some progress. And the last thing I just added, because Ken alerted me to it yesterday, I think it was, looks like OgCamp is returning. There are plans to hold OgCamp 2024 in Manchester, UK, in case you're thinking of the other man and other Manchester, this year after an absence of 5 years. It'll be on October the 12th and 13th at the Manchester Conference Centre, which, when I looked it up, Manchester Conference Centre is lots of places, some owned by the university, and all around the centre of Manchester. This one is in the Pendulum Hotel near Piccadilly Station, where the last OgCamp was held. Ooh. So we're going back. And that was not a bad place, actually. It was quite a good venue, I thought.
I wasn't there.
Yep.
I've never been to Manchester.
You were there?
No. Were
we? Yeah, went to OgCamp.
It was in Liverpool.
Before the pandemic. We had a table. We had Benny and Tim Timmy and stuff.
Was that Manchester? I thought that was Liverpool.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Manchester.
Got off on the wrong station.
I'll go and edit this because, you know, I sound like a complete nincompoop here.
And I've linked to the OgCamp website, which hasn't got a lot on at the moment, but it's going to contain news as things start to develop. So And it's also, there's also social media links as well, which you can find on the website. Perfect. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
I'm tempted to go.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings because I'm a bit hampered in
my bones
walking due to a bad knee, but I'm going to see if I can...
Wheelchairs, Dave. Motorized one with an Arduino controller.
Aye.
What could possibly go wrong?
I'm going to try doing a bit more walking because they say you can undo arthritic knees by doing sort of regular walking program. So I'm going to give that a shot.
Good.
So that's it.
Well, that's it. So much for our short podcast. But anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's only an hour.
It's only an hour. Very good. Anyway, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio.
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.